It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. From 2009 to 2014, internal investigations uncovered more than 1,000 allegations of misconduct among the Pennsylvania State Police. While reforms have been made, the state police remain vague on any type of punishments that have been administered. Reporter Jeffrey Benzing of our content partner Public Source joins us to discuss the results of his investigation into this issue. Jeffrey Benzing, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Great to be here. Thanks.
You say a major scandal in the early 2000s led to a crackdown on sexual misconduct within the agency, but the details on punishments, if any, for violations by troopers remain scarce. So what's going on? What might some state troopers be guilty of?
Right. Well, the major issue here is that there was a tremendous scandal that brought a huge amount of sort of disrepute to the agency because they had essentially turned a blind eye to allegations they knew were going on or should have known were going on that resulted in criminal charges for a trooper, a prison sentence. And then 5 years after that sentence, they decided, okay, now's the time to reform the way that we're doing our discipline so that we're getting troopers out of here who are guilty of, domestic assault, general sort of crime things, theft, fraud, committing fraud with a document, domestic assault, sexual misconduct was a sort of the main driver for this. And at the time, that process was very transparent. There was an inspector general report that came out that had a huge number of recommendations for how to fix it. The state then paid an outside consultant to do a year-long monitorship to essentially look at everything that was going wrong and what needed to be done to fix it. And they made the changes on paper, and they said, okay, now the process is fixed. What we've seen, basically no accounting to the public, though, as to how that's actually done and when and if troopers are held accountable and fired in the most egregious cases.
Why are the state police not being more forthcoming on these matters? Why hasn't there been more transparency?
Sure. Well, one issue is that they sort of don't have the systems to track it on whole. Like I got records from 2004 until last year, and I also got a list of troopers who were fired. They could only give me a dozen. And knowing that there were, prior to 2009, many other who had been punished in that way by being terminated. And they said, it's going to take too long to go through our paper documents to be able to tell you who had been punished in this way. And so there's this big transparency gap of essentially saying, hey, we have it taken care of. Trust us to be doing these investigations correctly. And, just sort of have that confidence. And what we saw from that earlier scandal is that the system wasn't working. And they had known it wasn't working since the 80s when a previous report came out and said, the way that you're punishing misconduct is arbitrary and it's not really holding up to the standard that you would expect in a top-of-the-line law enforcement agency.
And because of this, it hurt the overall work and the reputation of the state police. And it's also cost the state hundreds of thousands of dollars in court settlements, according to your report.
Right. The head of internal investigations for Western Pennsylvania got fired and then immediately rehired back in sort of this kind of murky circumstances. But he was essentially, according to this lawsuit, was pushed out sort of for not ratting out another trooper who had information on an internal investigation or the way that an investigation was being handled that seemed to be kind of sketchy. And sort of the implication was that this guy who was heading internal affairs for this part of the state kind of got the crackdown for doing what, according to him certainly and in the lawsuit, was basically the right thing. And then he got a huge settlement out of that, more than $500,000, and is retired now. And that indicates, something's going on here, if not as egregious as what you might sort of your worst sort of assumption would be, that certainly demands transparency. and an accounting to say, here is why we think everything is on the up and up, and here is why you should trust us. And that's not been provided.
It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. We're talking with Jeffrey Benzing from our content partner, Public Source, who has reported on internal investigations that have uncovered more than 1,000 allegations of misconduct among the Pennsylvania State Police. Perhaps the most sickening example that you talked about in your piece, your initial piece on this, was that despite early warnings, agency leadership failed for years to keep a predatory trooper from abusing numerous women and girls while on the job. This is, when you hear about something like this, it has to have, I'm sure, inflamed several of your readers when people hear about this, mm-hmm. that how could this happen? How could a situation like this that is so harmful to so many people fall through the cracks?
Right, and that case is so important to look at because that is what was supposed to be driving the entire reform process.
What happened here? Walk us through it.
So this was, and this is an old case, I should say. This was in the late 90s, a trooper who was a new recruit. And sort of ever since he showed up at the academy through the 4 years that he was a trooper, had just this string of accusations against him, which involved taking advantage of underage girls, some in very sort of compromising positions, and that were the sort of person that you would want a trooper to protect and stand up for and say, you know, we're going to make sure that you're protected.
Yeah, instead he's the predator.
He's the predator. And taking pictures of a prostitute naked in front of a state police car. Things that you obviously is obviously egregious misconduct. And it took 4 years before he was out of the agency. And that happened when he was sentenced for his crimes. And there was complaints, sort of coming through all along. And one of the
why wasn't something done sooner?
He got sort of slap on the wrist for one of the incidents, and another, the internal investigation, his supervisor said, we think that he's a good guy. Based on his character, we don't think that this allegation stands. And so from the year 2000, he's sentenced. It takes until 2005 for the union contract to include these what they call the 12 deadly sins, which are fireable offenses. If you commit this, you're out of the agency. And first of all, that's a long time, 5 years to go from this hugely embarrassing scandal that called for not only the state's internal watchdog, the inspector general, to look at sort of the issue of sexual misconduct on a much, much broader scale and how the systems were working or not working, but then an outside consultant to come in and do a year review, essentially, of saying, here's everything that you need to be doing to be sure that we're not having these types of problems reoccurring, and something where if you're, your supervisors like you, that you don't get treated as harshly, or if you are in a leadership position, you kind of get the blind eye, and even if you get caught, okay, you can retire instead of actually getting, fired and getting your benefits taken away, that sort of thing. And ever since that happened, though, then where's the transparency? What have we learned from that? Where is the agency telling the public, hey, here's how many people were guilty of these 12 deadly sins, which they couldn't tell me. I asked specifically, and they said, that's not something that we can match up with the 11 years of internal reports that I got, which, frankly, give fairly little information to begin with. And the way that they were provided to me was in black and white paper photocopies that have, they're supposed to have color-coded charts. You can read and say, okay, here's how I know how many people were accused of such and such offense. They'll tell you because of the color coding. Got them in black and white. And when I got the newest report from 2014, There was a huge listing that is in every previous report that says, here are all the allegations that we found that we know happened. Wasn't in that report. And there was no explanation why, except that it was to clarify, make information easier to understand to the public. It's not a public report. They gave it to me 30 days after a public records request in a black and white paper photocopy.
But it's not easy for people to track this down. And essentially what you're saying is the problem has not been fixed.
We have no idea if it has. There's not been that accounting for it. We certainly know that year after year, there's allegations that keep coming up that the internal investigators say, we know this happened. It's things like sex on duty, sexual misconduct, harassment, lying is common. And then there's also a huge category that basically is this vague kind of catch-all that says, you know, improper conduct on duty. That could mean any number of things, you know, something that could potentially be very serious, something that could be, okay, you know, this wasn't quite what you should have done in this situation, but, you know, we'll train you and we'll make sure that you act better next time. There's no breakdown for how serious the cases are, but we know that they happen over and over and over again. And we know that there have been a dozen troopers fired since 2009. And I talked to the guy who was leading the reforms after that big scandal, and he said they would have a dozen a year. And so we've had a dozen in 6-7 years.
In your second story, your follow-up story titled When Pennsylvania State Police Shoot, It's Almost Always Ruled Justified, what did you find?
So since 2008, this 7 years now, there's been one improper shooting, is ruled improper.
Far as we know,
As far as they told me, right. I was able to get them to say this is the one incident. And so that's when, you know, trooper thinks his life's in danger. He thinks someone else's life is in danger at the scene. They pull their guns out and they shoot. That's been ruled improper only once. And that's based either on or both on legally, you know, should there have been a criminal charge? No. And, did he do something against policy? Should he have, you know, this isn't something we say he's committed a crime, but should he have acted differently to be make sure everybody is safe? He's not threatening someone in a way that is improper. And that's out of at least 120 incidents just once. And there's, again, no accounting for how this process works. How are the decisions made? The investigations are done by the state police themselves. Of course, they contend that there are safeguards in place to make sure that they're not biased. You know, it's not someone who's their best friend looking into the shooting. But it's certainly not something that is a public process where we can see, you know, here is how they're making their judgments. Here are the incidents where someone was seriously hurt or killed, and of course, troopers, when they do pull their guns, often someone does get hurt or killed, and sometimes that's certainly justified. I want to be clear, and with the misconduct as well. I mean, most troopers, of course, are doing what they're trained to do and work very hard, do a dangerous, often thankless job. The issue is when things go wrong. Do we as the public have any idea? And what I found from doing this reporting, I had my first records request in March for this and have sort of kept being referred to that process, you know, go through this lengthy process to get information. Since I've been doing that, the questions still kind of keep coming. Like, why is there not more just basic public accounting saying, here is why you should trust us and believe that we are top of the line law enforcement agency.
Jeffrey Benzing of our content partner Public Source, who has reported on allegations of misconduct among the Pennsylvania State Police and the lack of transparency regarding information about the type of punishments that have been administered. Jeffrey Benzing, thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me on, Paul.
More Essential Pittsburgh coming up. This is 90.5 WESA.